Hey, I'm Colby.
And I'm Kate.
And this is the Kate and Colby Show. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Cole Bias.
How are you this week?
I am fantastic. You know why?
I want to know why. I could guess why, but I want to know from the horse's mouth.
I
want to
know your guesses, but because that's fun. I am doing really well because you know when you have those revelations that are just... they're just life changing. Like you get to know yourself in a way that you're like, oh, knowing that is really going to help me move forward.
Yep.
I've been slowly but surely realizing this thing about myself, which is hard to describe without getting super deep into the Enneagram. But suffice it to say, this is how much wine I drink when we're doing these episodes. Suffice it to say that Matthew will cut that out for me, right?
I don't think he will.
No, he won't. He won't. He never does. He likes...
We're bringing our real selves to this. Are.
That's the point,
Go
right?
Go on.
Anyway, my point is that I've realized, in a nutshell, that my personality, the more I work, I know we don't like the word busy. I agree with you. That's a terrible word, but I can't think of another one. So for lack of a better word, the busier I am, the happier I am. So the less depression I struggle with. Yeah. I think I've mentioned to our listeners that I struggle with depression and anxiety. And the more I work, the more stuff I have to do, the busier I stay. And this is very much part of my Enneagram stuff. So we'll get into that at some point. But my personality, the more I work, the happier I am. And so even to the point where, so I've been realizing that for a while. Like I think I told you when we were in Denver together for a short time doing a bunch of work stuff. And I was just on this high and I came to you and I said, for 2018, I need to work more. I've got to work more. It makes me happy. Like I do better when I'm working more. So I've been realizing that for a few weeks, right? But today it hit me that that's so true. It's true even to the extent that if my work gets to a point where it's stressful, like that's how busy it is, you know, that it's like I'm super stressed. Like when I come to you and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm super stressed about this thing I'm working on. That is a better, healthier place for me personally to be in than to not have enough to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that hit me today 100%. Big time. That I'm better in places of I've got so much to do, it's stressful, than I am in places of not having enough to do. Do you feel me on that?
And I feel you because I'm like, that's, yeah.
Well, but for you, you live in that. Like that's normal for my personality. That's a funny juxtaposition.
It feels like a new revelation to me as well.
Yeah.
To be able to see that and name that in for you in that way.
Right. Yeah. Because left to, so the natural inclination for my personality, my Enneagram 4, mopey, melancholy, sadness is where I hang out. My natural inclination is to do as little as possible, to stay in my jammies. Like that's my comfort zone, mm-hmm. right? Like to be busy feels horrifying.
Side note, do you remember that Bruno Mars song that I sent to you when it came out and I said it's dedicated to you and you got super offended? Do you remember that?
Yes.
the song was today I swear I'm not doing anything. Yeah. I just want to stay in my bed.
Is that the same song where he's like, sex, and he makes a sex noise? I think it is, but anyway.
Maybe. But anyway, I sent that to you because I was trying to like connect with you on how like I see like that's true about you. And you were like,
yeah.
I think it was the wrong time in our relationship for me to send that to you.
There was a lot of layers going on there. I didn't. Yeah, I needed you to see me, but maybe not that.
Not
part
that way.
Of me at that moment,
I can respect that.
But that is kind of my theme song, right? Like it's my natural inclination to do as little as possible. Stay in my PJs all day long. To just stay home. To not get rid. Like I've gone through such a long period of time. I mean, we're talking over a decade of just. My regular routine is to not get ready in the morning, not shower, not do any sort of like, like people have morning routines, right? I haven't had that for a long, like I hate the lazy word. It's not that at all. It's cozy. Like as an Enneagram 4 and as everything I've gone through in my life, it's my natural inclination to cozy on up, stay home and do very little. And I've realized that that's not the best thing for me. The best thing for me is to take a shower every morning, put on my makeup, do my hair, which we could get into all sorts of conversations around
about
that,
hair?
And we will at some point.
Let's do it.
Oh my God.
Oh,
babe.
No, it's not.
No, about like feminism and getting pretty and all that stuff. But get dressed, like, you know, just get ready in the morning, have a routine, and then like do it, have appointments and go to meetings with people. Because, oh, here's a huge part of it is that I'm an extrovert, like classic extrovert. Like I just get all my energy from outside people, all of that. But so much of the other parts of who I am, the Enneagram 4-ness and the depression stuff, contradicts that, the extrovert part. And so I just feel like I'm in this space of my life is against me. I can't thrive. But I finally figured out that I can thrive if I live into the extrovert part of myself. It actually helps that other part of me succeed. Those like darker, more melancholy parts of me, I can, I don't know. I can do better. I'm still fleshing all this out, but the point is I've realized that the more I work, the better I do, the healthier I am. And that's making me really happy. I really like it. So anyway, that's
so
all.
So you're doing well.
Random me stuff. So I've been doing really well because we've had, as you know, I've had a lot going on. I've had a lot on my plate
you're
at
real
Sojourn.
Busy season.
I've had a lot on my plate with some other organizations I work with that I will talk to y'all about soon. And I've just had a lot going on and plus still homeschooling our children and being home every day. So just a lot. And I used to think that I was too stressed out of a person to handle all that. And the truth is that's not true at all. I do better when I just lean into those places of busyness and have all that going on than when I don't have enough going on. So,
I love that. Anyway, that's beautiful. Cool. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
That's all. So that's my random messiness. How are you this week?
I'm fantastic.
You this week, I know you're fantastic because you did two things that you absolutely love that are not. So your natural state of happiness that you've always known is to work. Like that's normal and like obvious for you, right?
Yeah.
And so you have a hard time with the things that I like am just natural out of like just being and just relaxing or doing. And so for you, it's work to be like, okay, I'm going to put work away and do something else. Mm-hmm. And so this week you did two activities
in
1 week that you absolutely love that are just fun, that aren't work.
Yeah.
And what are those two things?
I went golfing with a buddy of mine.
Ever.
Which I took like a 3-year accidental hiatus from golf.
It's just expensive.
Yeah.
I didn't have time.
And it just feeds my, for those who don't play golf, it just sounds, I'm sure, really silly, but it really feeds my soul because for me, I have a hard time being in the moment. I have a hard time being present. I have a hard time just not being in production mentality.
Right.
But when I'm golfing, I'm doing nothing other than being present on the golf course, thinking about this shot, the next shot, the lie, the club, the angle, the arc of the ball, like just in the moment.
Do you feel relaxed?
So good.
Like, is that
so
a word?
Relaxed.
Really? Okay.
So relaxed. Like that's it is awesome. Just, I was conscious of it this week. I'm like that. This is my happy place. Like
I want to come just watch you because I never see you relaxed.
Oh man!
Like, even when you're home, you're not relaxed.
I know. It's so true. It's so true. And then I played. I've gotten back into basketball. I'm back in my. I'm in a league right now. So just
totally
getting some.
Thing.
Yeah, that was my first love as a kid growing up. So
Colby is a sports. You love all the sports.
Yeah, it surprises like a lot fanatic. Of people who. Yeah. Have only known me as this current version of myself, but.
Well, even, I mean, all the versions of you, like you're a funny contradiction because people meet you and they, no matter what time period of your life, and they wouldn't expect that just because you always have your hair done and you're intellectual and study and all that. And then you're like, I love all the sports. And,
which I
can never connect with you on because I'm like, the sports go sports.
Go ball points.
Ball points. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. So we've established we're doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, we both had fabulous weeks. So
should we just end the podcast there?
There you have it.
There's your pep talk, people.
So this is another this is another episode in the Ask Kate and Colby, which we have been loving. And so do you want to just go ahead and read this next question?
Yeah, I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit because a lot of it is just wonderful story and background and all that.
That we've adored, but yeah. It's personal.
So this is from Matt. And Matt is a worship leader at his church. It is a progressive Christian church, similar to...
Do you know Matt?
I do know Matt.
Oh, nice.
Hello, Matt. And their church is very similar to ours here in San Diego. So Matt, in his question to us, was reflecting on a blog post that I wrote 6 years ago that was titled something like, "Where is all the progressive worship music?" This was back when I was a when I was a worship leader. Mm-hmm. And I was lamenting at the time the lack of adequate songs and resources for worship leaders like myself who wanted to be able to sing songs with integrity and lead churches in singing songs with integrity that had words that matched our theology, but that also were like good songs with good melodies and good instrumentation. And so,
because you change your theology in progressive Christianity, but you are stuck with the same songs, right?
Yeah.
Because
it feels like stuck with the same songs. Or at that time, there were people out there making music. For me, it didn't connect with me. Like the style and whatever didn't connect. So I wrote this blog post. It's been consistently my most viewed blog post of all time. Like the number of people that are also Googling,
so it's where's clearly the something people care
is tapping
about,
into a thing out there that is sort of lack.
Well,
of,
yeah, Brian McLaren talks about it too, about how us progressive churches are stuck without all of the new liturgy. Like we have all the old ways, but with new thoughts, and it's hard to figure out how to.
Yeah. So Matt's question is basically: it's been 6 years since you wrote that post. Have you seen anything change? Have you seen anything change in that time? And he wants to know if you and I are aware of more artists that are writing progressive worship music.
Okay.
And what kind of stuff does our team at Sojourn do on Sundays?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So
I thought we could talk about that specifically.
I love that our podcast producer is one of our worship leaders. We might have him yell into the microphone.
So I think we could talk about that specifically, the music part.
Yeah.
But I thought we could also expand it to kind of just the liturgy and the prayers and the way we structure our service in general as a progressive Christian church that has an evangelical heritage.
Yeah.
And I know that word, we don't use it, we don't connect with it.
Right.
But for all intents and purposes, when you come to our church, it looks and sounds and smells evangelical.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second, because you and I always get in a little bit of a pinch about that, because that word for me, especially in Trump era, is really difficult.
Yep.
But when you're describing that, you're trying to describe the kind of service. Yeah. Will you talk about that for a minute? Just what you, when you're talking about what the Sunday service looks like.
Yeah. So an evangelical service as contrasted to like a mainline service. Mm-hmm. So a mainline service often has organ or choir music.
Which are often progressive in nature.
Sure, they can be. Yeah. They have a very sort of strict liturgy of how the service goes in terms of how the prayers are ordered.
Mm. Follow the church. What is it?
The liturgical calendar.
Yeah, liturgical calendar.
Oftentimes the sermons or homilies are much shorter in mainline world. So it's got kind of a more...
a lot of liturgy.
Exactly. So
scriptures that were picked for that week.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a more structured form of service. And it usually has a more traditional feel to it.
Yeah. And the music typically... right? It would be like organ, maybe choir. You're not going to have like a drum set band type situation. Yeah.
So the evangelical movement, for lack of a better way to describe it, sort of reinvented the Sunday morning gathering to be, you know, in the early 80s, it was Willow Creek and Saddleback, the Seeker,
seeker-friendly
movement of basically saying, how can we create Sunday morning gatherings that reflect what people might be finding out
in
culture?
And the idea was to
feel
more like a concert.
Yeah. To just be more...
secular gathering.
To be more relevant and to be more familiar. So in the more evangelical churches, you have less structure, less formality, more fluidity. You've got... oftentimes more use of technology. You've got music that uses electronic instruments that might sound more like what you would hear on the radio. You might have sermons that are longer than kind of in the mainline tradition. So yeah, when you come to Sojourn, our theology is by no means evangelical.
Not at all. Yeah.
But the way in which we structure the form of our gathering is heavily influenced by the evangelical
tradition. People
often
call us the unicorn church of, oh my gosh, this is what I was looking for, because people are out there looking for, and that's why I referenced the mainline often being progressive, because what I meant by it was that people go looking for a progressive church and all they can find is a mainline church. Yeah. And they're sad, not because they don't absolutely love what they found there, but they're like, where's my drums? Where's my more lively, free-flowing service?
Where's the coffee and snacks that I can bring into the church?
Yeah. And so people often call us the unicorn church because we've got the drums and the live band and all that lively, young, you know, a little more relaxed feel, but with the progressive theology.
Yeah.
And so,
to directly answer your question, Matt, in the 6 years, yes, there have been... there have been more artists that have created really good resources for churches like ours. What comes to mind, you know, Gunger, about 5-6 years ago, they made their significant kind of shift from out of pop Christianity into their more true, authentic selves. And so the music that they make is... musically, some of the best. Yeah. And lyrically will just fit right at home in almost any progressive Christian church.
Their lyrics kill me.
Michael Gunger's brother David is part of a band called The Brilliance. And from what I can tell, their theology is also really good.
Well, their songs will rock.
Yeah, their songs tend to be a little more open-ended. They don't necessarily have anything, or they're not quite as particular. But their music is super good. There's a church up in Seattle called Eastlake, and they've put out some amazing albums the last couple of years that have progressive...
That we've adopted.
We've used many of their songs.
Yeah. Can you name some of those specifically? Because you're better at...
Oh, the songs?
That. Yeah.
There's one song called We're Together in This.
Oh, so good.
Which...
We do that, what, like every other week?
Yeah, sounds like it. Or seems like it. There's a song called Thank God, which reflects
also
on the fact that,
now at our church,
that we don't have to like sacrifice and satisfy some angry God.
Can we talk about some of the lyrics and some of the songs real quick? Just because it's like a good example.
Okay, so let's go back to We're Together in This.
Is that the one where it's like we have our different religions, we have our different
We're together politics. In this. Yes, sure, we've got our own set of problems. Yeah, yes, we've got our own religion, we've got our own politics, but we're still together in this.
We're still together in this.
So it's this way of naming that in your community, there's a diverse range of people with beliefs, creedal beliefs.
Which is true in every community ever, even the most conservative ones. Yeah. It's just that progressive churches...
Yeah.
are okay with naming that. Yeah.
So this song says we're together. And then the chorus, the hook is, I'll carry your weight, brother.
It kills me. Sister. I sob every freaking time.
And you can carry mine.
Yeah.
We'll leave the battle far behind. Like the battle of like making sure we're all uniform. Like we're
that language,
laying that down.
It just kills
me. That's beautiful. Yeah. The song, Thank God. Thank God we don't have to worry. Thank God. We don't have to pay, all our wrongs are covered in your glory.
God, so good.
Thank God. So, and the verses are, we thought you wanted temples.
Oh, yeah.
We thought you wanted religion.
Basically, it turns out you're everywhere.
That's really beautiful. They have a song called Beautiful Love, which I love for multiple reasons, one of which because it sings to the feminine.
Which we'll talk more about that in
divine.
A second.
Beautiful love with arms of a mother, holding her daughter. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, Eastlake, for making songs that we can sing that are musically interesting.
Give them a clear shout out again, will you please?
Eastlake Music. One of the albums is called A Million Miles, I think. But that's a fantastic.
Again, we'll go to our resources page and update everything and make sure you guys get this.
Who else? Okay, there's that one song that we've been singing lately. Oh, this is an old, isn't the In the Shelter of Each Other We Will Live. Is that Jars of Clay? Okay, so Jars of Clay, which was always a little bit on the fringe, even back in the day.
Let's talk about this because this is a good place to go with this question of progressive music. Sometimes we found that you need to go backwards and find people like Jars of Clay who have been rocking it forever and you didn't realize it because you were so ingrained in your old theology that you didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Their songs, our worship leader who's sitting here right now because he's our producer, has done some Jars of Clay songs. And at first I'm like, what is he doing? And then I'm like, oh shit. Yeah.
These it works.
Good.
It works.
These are really good. Mm-hmm. So go back and do some digging. That would be my advice too, is to do the work of going backwards because some old music is actually brilliant. People were
Shelter. Every time I sing it, I just start crying.
Yeah. Do you know who did that song?
That's Jars of Clay. Yeah.
Okay. That one.
Shelter of Each Other We Will Live
is an old, Irish. Is it Irish? It's Irish blessing. And Jars of Clay took that and
really?
Made it a song. Yeah. Ugh. So it's just gorgeous.
Bless my heart.
I know. I just used those words the other day to talk about, you're such a dork.
I'll take any opportunity.
I know. You have to talk the rest of this episode.
That's not a good idea.
No, but those words kill me. Like I think about it all the time. We were in our, we do this like huddle before church every Sunday. And, I was having a hard morning and I just laid my head on one of our pianist. And I just said, in the shelter of each other, we will live ? Like hug me, hold me, you know? And those words just, I used them the other day in this post I did about this incredible thing that happens in my family where, as you guys know, cause you've heard me reference, my mother died, when I was really young. And, my brother, his wife, every year, twice a year has her mom, go to my mother's grave and lay flowers at her grave. Like she joins us in a grief that is not hers. She never met my mother. My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, never met my mother. Like they came, you know, long after my mother died. And every year, twice a year on my mother's birthday and the day she died, they participate in our grief by having my brother's mother-in-law go lay flowers at her grave, which I shared that story publicly and people just went nuts over it for obvious reasons. And I used the words in there, like in the shelter of each other, we will live. And that's it right there. And that's the progressive movement, right? Is that community is everything. So we've just, that song is so old. Yeah. I mean, Jars of Clay, do you know when that song?
I do not.
But anyway, go back because some of the old stuff, people were ahead of us and they really did nail it. So Jars of Clay has a lot of beautiful ones. Switchfoot has so many. I did a sermon one time where I talked about the Jesus movement being a resistance movement first and foremost and how Switchfoot nailed that with their lyrics a long time ago. So they've got some really good stuff.
Yeah. And there's also people that are making music right now. I'm thinking of like Bethel Music, Rend Collective, that are pretty well known, that are really capitalized on in the more conservative evangelical movement. But but every once in a while, you'll find a song of theirs that works really well in our context. Yeah. We might sing a particular word of a song and energetically have a different attachment to that word as a community because of our theology.
Which is a good piece of advice.
Different than the intent of the author.
Yes.
But it still really works for us.
Yeah.
What's one example? By Bethel, the song No Longer a Slave.
Like we sing that all the time.
That's just,
we
that song
it.
Just...
Yeah. It kills me.
Totally does everything for me.
It kills me. I can't sing it without crying.
Yeah, but yeah. But I'm certain that the authors of the song wouldn't identify as progressive.
They're probably talking
about
no longer a slave with like all their sin and stuff, and we're like all this resistance shit. But that's okay. Like, how beautiful is that?
The
really?
Hook is, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God.
Yeah,
and that's the thing we say at Sojourn every 7 days. Is that you are a child
of
God.
So
that's great. The band Bird Talker has a couple really great songs.
Oh, really quick though, before you keep going with a bunch of resources, I wanted to say, because you pointed out like Bethel and those groups, I wanted to say, not only go back to old stuff because you might find some beautiful things there, but also like, don't be afraid to do that thing. Like Colby's talking about, of going to people, you know, places like Bethel and things that might be in the conservative world, but that the words match perfectly with your community. You just wouldn't have thought to grab from that because it is labeled. Labels hurt us, right? It's labeled conservative. So you don't want to touch it when really, there's some beautiful stuff. So don't be afraid of that. Yeah. Just check the lyrics for yourself and go on that, not what it's labeled.
Yeah.
That's probably,
and I don't know the legality of it, but we change lyrics all the time.
Are you getting in some trouble right now?
Maybe. And I'm okay with that. But so at Sojourn,
that's a really good point.
Yeah. Sojourn, we're very conscious that we, If a song has he as a pronoun for God or him, mm-hmm. we will change it to God or some other form.
And often change it to the feminine.
Or we may change it to the feminine, but we're very conscious of that. Yeah. Very conscious of that. I reflected on this the other day. Like, it's kind of fortunate that in the English language, one word that I'm really not comfortable with us singing because it demands too much theological unpacking, which we can't do every time we sing a song about it,
yeah.
rhymes with another word that we can easily drop in without any unpacking. So any song that talks about blood, just drop in love and it just works.
I love you.
Like, you don't
have to. That's why your mind
it's so easy. So you can do that. So we'll oftentimes just sort of...
Yeah, we sing songs differently than how they were written, and that's okay too. I think, like you said, maybe not legally, but resist, #resist.
Okay, so Kate, let's talk about a couple other things when we craft our Sunday morning services beyond just music that help reflect our progressive theology.
Okay, since we're moving on, can I say one last thing about music before we move on to some other liturgical things? I can't believe I'm saying this, but I just feel like mentioning, actually I have two more things. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I have two more things.
And I have one thing.
Never mind.
I guess we're hanging out here for a bit.
Okay, we're hanging out at the music thing for a bit more. One thing is, I actually want to say that at Sojourn, probably like the most progressive church in the nation, we actually sing songs with some old lyrics. One Sunday in particular, we sang, Matthew, help me out with this because I'm not going to remember. So it's that song that, is it called Grace Flows Down? Grace flows down and covers me. There is some old shit in that, right? Like some real substitutionary atonement mm-hmm. stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And we sang that. And then the second after that song ended, Matthew let us in True Colors. Yes, I mean that completely and totally secular song, True Colors.
You called it a secular song.
I know, right?
I like that.
But that's what I'm leading into. That's my mm-hmm. point. Is so at Sojourn, what I love from our beautiful worship leaders is Matthew sitting right here. I'm going to gush over him. He has brought this thing to us where we can sing those old songs with those lyrics that may feel somewhat triggering to us and weird, and I don't believe that shit anymore. And then right after that, sing a song that has never had a place in church, like True Colors, like mm-hmm. seriously, it's all about, like, you know, the part of Sojourn that's the more psychological, emotional connectivity, find your true self part of you. Right after singing about the blood mm-hmm. saving you, like, and mm-hmm. grace flowing down and covering you. And I remember that Sunday in particular when we did those two songs in a row. I remember I had to go up right after those two consecutive songs. I had to go up and like dismiss the children. And instead I went up and blubbered about how incredibly grateful I am to be in a community where I can sing both those songs in a row and like do my old Pentecostal, like raise my hands, worship my face off, and then like True Color, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have words for the magic that's in that. So, two thoughts. One, it's okay for a progressive community that has moved on to sing old shit and just be okay with the lyrics not being like, that's some of our values right there, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
It's the transcend and include concept.
Yes.
So you hit a point where you come out, of conservative Christianity mm-hmm. and you have this, I can't go there. Like I need,
sing those songs.
I can't sing those songs. Yeah. It's not my theology. And you have to put up some safety walls for you.
Yes.
It's totally a thing.
And that's healthy and good.
We respect it and we see you and we name you. If you stay there, you will drive us crazy because eventually I think you're holding yourself back from really connecting with Spirit in a really meaningful way. Like, don't be afraid to push through to the next click mm-hmm. of your development and embrace some of the spirit in which you used to really connect with God through worship, but with your more progressive self. Like, you're not betraying. So what I'm saying is you're not betraying your progressive ideology when you tap into, when you sing old lyrics. Like, it's okay. sometimes to just let it be and to just it's hard for me to even put words to.
Totally. But same. I know I was stumbling over it. So, well, my friend Matthew, I'm going to totally throw him out right now. And like, I don't even know if this is okay. So he can yell at me if it's not. But so Matthew that I keep referencing, who's our producer, who's sitting right here, who's also one of our worship leaders. He leads music. He is the one who has made this transcend and include shift for me that he doesn't even realize because he so naturally just lives it. He's like, okay, so he has a podcast called Heathen, right? So he's like, oh, and it's spiritual conversations for the godless, right? Okay. So this is my Enneagram 8 friend who's like, fuck it all, the old shit sucks, okay? But he's a worship leader at our church who, he's the one who picks the songs and picks these old ridiculous songs with these lyrics that sometimes I'll look at the set and I'll go, Matthew picked that? How many times have I said to you when we're getting ready for a Sunday morning worship service and I look at the set and I go, I'm sorry, Matthew Blake Williams picked that song? What? But it's because he so beautifully lives into that, that he can, he like is comfortable with who he is and where he's at in his progressive heathen godless person, that he can sing this old shit because of the beauty that exists there. He can like live into that beauty for us. I don't even know if that's why he does it. I don't know why he does it, but I know what it's done for me to be like, because what we do often as progressives is we do the same old thing on the other end of the spectrum. So we're like, I can't sing any of those words because they're bad.
Yeah. We all know that person. Really? And maybe we've been that person. Yes. We're like, oh, I can't do it. Like all of a sudden I'm out. Oh, this church still sings about that. It's like, you rob yourself.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah. We, like I said, I think we're probably the most progressive church in the nation and we sing about the blood of Christ sometimes. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Yeah. Especially since the second after we finished that song about the blood of Christ, that I have idea what to do
with. We'll sing Brave.
We sing True Colors or Sarah Bareilles, Brave. Oh, and that was my other part of it is that our worship leaders do a great job of picking songs that have nothing to do with church. Don't look to, if you can't find progressive church music, pull in quote unquote secular music. Yeah. It's perfect. There's super so much empowering progressive theology in Sarah Bareilles songs and Cyndi Lauper songs. they're beautiful, life-changing songs that if you bring into a church service, you will cry your face off because of the beauty and truth and God and love and peace that you will find there. So do that as well. So basically what we're saying is what you always say. You have this mantra that you've brought to Sojourn that I adore, which is it all belongs. Hashtag it all belongs. And that's where we found ourselves is, you know, what if you can't find it, include it all because it all belongs.
Yeah. And I think we've also done a good job of sort of teaching and educating our people along the way about this.
Yeah.
And give it, you know, we're redefining words and terms all the time.
Yeah.
So there are some people that when there's some people in our, you know, half our church, if we sing a song that has the term blood in it, half our church knows, you know, sort of comes online because we've talked about it enough times. Oh, blood was a way that our ancient ancestors conceptualized how to please angry gods. But we know that there's no such thing as an angry God that needs, you know, pacified by blood.
Yes.
And so Jesus, his sacrifice was like this, like revealing and exposing the myth of the blood.
Yeah.
And so we can sing about blood as a symbol to represent sort of in some ways the way that we've kind of evolved. Like, oh, we don't really need blood anymore. So half
the
church,
you're preaching it is so that, a lot of,
so that people can redefine the words as they sing it. But we're also conscious of there's another half of the church that might sing blood and go back to the substitutionary atonement. And what I think Kate and I are saying is, we've come to a place where we're okay with that. We recognize that might happen.
Yeah.
And there's a sense in which we want to be conscious of how we might be triggering people. We do want to create a safe space, but we're also not going to go so far into the kind of liberal, I'm going to hate that I say this, but the ultra politically correct arena where we just can't say any of the things or use any of the terms anymore for fear of offending anybody.
We are all about politically correct.
Yes, I know. Important. Gosh, dang it. But I think we found ourselves coming back. Like we're transcend and include. It's kind of just really the best language to kind of put words around it.
Yeah,
is we give ourselves grace sometimes to sing songs that might not exactly reflect our ideology or might require lots of unpacking. And we just like, we'll just let it be. And maybe that's okay.
And then not to keep mentioning my worship leader while he's sitting right here, but
I think he's okay with it.
But he and Jessica, our other worship leader, and all the people who've ever led worship for us. But Jessica and Matthew are our regulars, and they are brilliant at just before they do a song. Like Jessica's incredible. Like she has a gift for before they do a song, they say, "Here's the lyrics we're about to sing. Here's what I have to say about that." And they like do some sort of
reframe.
Yeah, not necessarily explanation, but like almost a trigger warning for this song. And in such a beautiful way. So Jess will be like, "Hey, we're about to sing these words and here's what I'd love for you to meditate on."
Like a couple weeks ago, there's a song that talked about how broken we are. And she's like, "You know what? When I sing this, what comes up for me is not that I'm inherently sinful and I'm an awful person, but that I am a person that at times feels disintegrated within myself." So when I
say,
so it gives all of us,
she brought modern psychology into that term of brokenness in a way that was like, it was life changing for our church. So for your worship leaders to be trained in that, to be encouraged, you know, if you're a lead pastor and you're working with your worship leaders, have an honest conversation with them about doing that. Like some training around, you know, cause you always want your worship leaders to say a few things anyway, right? Between songs or before songs. And so just have a conversation around how they could do that, to just say to your congregation, "Hey, we're about to sing this song. And you know what? It may not fit everything that we normally talk about."
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You wanted to move us past talking about songs.
I kind of did, but I also feel like maybe that's a good stopping point.
Okay.
Like maybe this is just an episode about progressive Christian music.
Yeah. Who knew we'd have so much to say? I feel like I could go on and on. So maybe we'll do a part two to this where we talk about some liturgy, because you have brought some incredible liturgy, some ideas that you just came up with out of your head for Sojourn. You've written some blog posts. I would love to bring those to the Kate and Colby show and talk about those. So let's do a part two to this, where we move away from the music a little bit and talk about some liturgy for progressive churches. So that'll be coming up in the future. Do you want to do that thing for us where you summarize? Because I feel like we went a lot of places and said a lot of things. Do you feel like you could be really good at that?
Yeah. So, Matt, thank you for the awesome question. And I'm conscious of how a lot of our listeners are not worship leaders. Mm-hmm. But I imagine a lot of you attend church or have some connection to the church world. And so hopefully this was interesting to you, but I think what we're saying to you, Matt, and then to you, so for you on the stage, like the mats, and then you in the pews or the chairs, I think what we're saying is there are a lot of really good resources out there right now. We're getting more and more with each passing year for progressive, theologically grounded worship music. But what we're saying as well is don't be afraid to look other places to find those resources. It might involve lyric change and it might not. It might involve lyric explanation and it might not. And part of it is creating a culture in your church where you don't get so hyper wrapped up and afraid of things that you're that kind of paralyzes you. And maybe you can tap back into that that old part of you that really loved to just kind of let yourself connect to the music and open yourself up to spirit. And maybe even as a progression or as a progressive Christian, you let yourself worship again. Maybe that's something that could be a really beautiful discipline for you if you're listening to this to practice this year.
That was a beautiful summary. And I'll just end by saying that as a person who is like so done with old churchy stuff, but also is a really artsy fartsy spirit, let myself feel things person, that journey that you just described has been absolutely imperative to my spiritual experience. So I really encourage you to let those words that Colby just said just really sit with you and challenge yourself on that journey.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Kate and Colby Show. To learn more about us or hear past episodes, to send us a question or a comment, just visit thekateandcolbyshow.com. And just make sure to subscribe to the podcast while you're there. That would be super easy. The Kate and Colby Show is recorded and produced here in San Diego by Matthew Blake.